genealogies. Yeah, those list of names we usually pass over when we find ourselves reading God's Word. They contain quite a bit of information. We'll stop and take a moment and explore them, which we'll do together here today on Abounding Grace. Here's Pastor Chris to begin our time.
We generally want to think of ourselves as good people, and Jesus made it so clear in his earthly ministries. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Only those who are sick know they need a physician. And that's, I think, has to be our message today, is that Jesus came for real struggling people who have greatly offended a holy God.
From Abounding Grace Radio, hi there, and welcome to our Christmas week edition of Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon has us in Matthew chapter 1 as we are in studio today. Here's Pastor Chris.
I always find that when the Lord does something like this with genealogies, it's some of the richest, most helpful moments to stop and see things that typically in a given passage you don't really. This is special. In other words, he's doing something very special for us in a genealogy. And this is the thing, you know, you get the Bible and you're like, oh, I'm skipping this part. I'm not reading this, you know. This is what we do.
Yeah. And for those of us who have been listening through for the past couple of weeks here on Abounding Grace, we kind of dealt with this in Genesis when we got started there, because that genealogy had Genesis a specific thing in mind that you really brought out well for us.
Yeah, there's always something important in the genealogy, and especially when you come to the New Testament here, this is the first thing the Lord's starting with. Now, this is important because, you know, for the average Jewish reader, you know, this now establishes roots, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not that Jesus came out of nowhere.
Right.
This is Jesus according to the flesh, you know, born of the son of David, right?
Right.
He's the son of David according to the flesh. So the point is that according to his human nature, when we say that. The point is here is that he's showing us a history. He's showing us, and Luke will trace it back differently than Matthew. Matthew has a specific theological purpose. But I want to focus on something today I think would be really helpful for the listener, but it's kind of messy.
Okay.
It's kind of shocking. In other words, we love Christmas because it's cozy.
And it's warm and fuzzy.
It's warm and fuzzy. And, you know, Jesus is non-offensive as a baby in a manger.
No.
we like everything about Christmas because it's just so sweet and it's traditional and it's a cultural thing. And that's not what the Bible does with the birth of Jesus at all. In other words, consumerism has really wrecked it. And shamefully so, that Jesus's birth is marketed on unprecedented levels in this country so that people make masses of money. I just have to say up front, what a tragedy.
Yes.
What a tragedy. But this genealogy is interesting. There's much I could say about it. There's three sort of eras here that it breaks down into. But notice this at the beginning. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So notice there's a specific focus here. We start with Abraham, and then we go to David, and then we go to after the deportation to Babylon. But in this first section with Abraham, we have some surprising figures in here. The surprising figures are women. Typically, in Jewish genealogies, they didn't add women into the genealogies, which I find it very special, especially in our day where we have a lot of confusion on these issues, and we live, you know, obviously in an egalitarian society today, and obviously there are heirs with egalitarian views and all that. But I think it's important to say that women played a huge and prominent role in this, and have a special role in the coming of the Savior, and that's just as important as any man. And
yes.
I think we have to say that more, because in our day there has been a lot of suppression and wrong ways of women and their roles in the kingdom of God.
Right.
But this is not such a flattering list. And that's what I think is so interesting about this.
And God never shies away from being messy.
No. He is going to show us things to teach us things about us.
Mm-hmm.
The men in this passage are very much abusers. You'll see that. But listen to this. Okay, where are we starting here? Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Oh, Tamar. If you ever went back to Genesis 38, what a mess of an account that was. Oh. This is fascinating, isn't it? That Judah had two sons, and the first one was evil. The Lord killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, Onan, went in and had his own form of birth control.
Yep.
And that displeased the Lord. He took him out.
Yep.
Judah made a promise, and of course, that never came to be. So Tamar goes out and dresses like a prostitute out on the road, and Judah sees her, right? And takes her in and has a son. And guess who makes it into the genealogy? That son. That is an absolute mess in Genesis 38, Andy.
You read that and you can almost hear the soundtrack of As the World Turns. It's just garbage.
It's garbage. I mean, this is the kind of stuff. Listen, I have a family tree. I have a long list of family members. This is never the stuff I would ever want out in my family tree for anyone to know about. This is the skeleton in the closet. This is the bad story about grandma that, you know, you just don't want the family to know, right?
Right.
And here we are, right at the beginning. Here's a mess. And this is the line of who?
Jesus.
No, no, no. Can't be. Out of that mess, a prostituting mess?
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. And notice that that verse, there's a list of further names here. And Salmon, verse 5. Let's see, let me back up here. And Ram, the father of Ahimadab, and Ahimadab, the father of Nishon, and Nishon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab.
Uh-oh.
This is two for two here. This is not a good scenario. Well, Rahab. Now we know the story of Rahab, don't we?
Well, yes. First you've got Tamar who pretends to be a prostitute. Now we've just got a full-on prostitute.
Right. This is Jericho. I mean, mm-hmm.
The
fall of Jericho. This is Rahab who hid the spies, but she was a known prostitute in the town.
Yes.
And that's a remarkable inclusion that, think about this, Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab. Now, the genealogies are not always working. We kind of read them generation, generation, generation. It's showing us lines and connections here. But we should be stunned by that. Another one who was full of sin and we would never expect to be one of the mothers of Jesus.
Also, out of the line of Israel.
Yeah, and she was a foreigner.
Yes.
A foreigner. She was not pure Israelite blood.
Mm-mm.
See, that's where I think it would have been interesting to did the rabbis ever stop and think about, you know, that wait a minute, that couldn't be. The Messiah come? No, but she was. She was in the line of David.
Mm-hmm.
See, that, and that's part of the point. The great King David.
Yeah.
Came through this line, right?
Yeah.
So we keep going on, okay? The father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. Ruth the who?
The Moabitess.
The Moabitess.
Ooh.
They were cursed according to Deuteronomy. You know how the Moabites came about, Andy?
Tell me.
Lot and his daughters in the cave.
Yep.
Incest. And I don't have to get into all the details of that, but it says very clearly that the firstborn there was the mother of the Moabites.
Yes.
So Ruth came from a cursed people, according to Deuteronomy, an incestuous relationship that whole nation came out of. And notice here, Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. So this is three very messy situations, very sinful situations that here we have the three women mentioned are here in the line of Christ as the mothers, really, of Israel.
It doesn't even end there because there's another woman that is inferred or implied.
There's another one. Yeah, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, one of the biggest messes in Scripture.
Oh,
David is out on his roof one day, and he is strolling out casually, looks down, and gets caught in pornography, and looks at a woman bathing, and has her husband put on the front line and murdered, and then takes her, right? And well, this is actually first. He took her first.
Yeah.
And laid with her. And this was Solomon's mom.
Yes.
I think we should stop at this moment and say, I understand why the message of Christianity is Jesus came to save sinners, and Paul would say, of whom I am chief. We look at this. This is the kind of stuff that's weird to me in Christianity because, Andy, you know, this is the kind of stuff we want to hide from. We want everything cleaned up. We want the white picket fence life. We want everything to look great. And we want Christianity to come. And when, you know, the children are all sitting there, we don't want them to hear anything about this or that. We're deceiving ourselves. We're full of sin. This is the problem. And Jesus is teaching us this right in the genealogy, that line is full of corrupted sinners. And here's the truth of it. He identifies with them. That's the marvel of Christmas. Jesus came from sinners. Now, I'm going to qualify that in a minute. But I think that has to set in. He has come to identify with sinners.
Right.
Overwhelming.
It is humbling, to say the least. You go through this and you begin to realize that we don't deserve any of this.
No, we don't. But I think we have to also say that, you know, we are these people.
We are.
You know, we live in a day where, we generally want to think of ourselves as good people. And Jesus made it so clear in his earthly ministries. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Only those who are sick know they need a physician. And that's, I think, has to be our message today, is that Jesus came for real struggling people who have greatly offended a holy God. But it's the good news in the sense that look right in the genealogy at the kind of sins that are brought out. You know, some people listening today in the course of their lives carry around a lot of guilt because they've done a lot of bad things in their life.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of things that have ruined them, may have terrible earthly consequences in this life. They may have wrecked their marriage. They may have destroyed their lives through an addiction. You can go right down the line here. There may have been adultery, right? There may have been prostitution. Here's what's being announced here. You're the kind of person Jesus came for, to save. Isn't that right here in the genealogy?
It really is. Yeah. No, you've got a woman who portrays a prostitute. You've got a prostitute who actually is scheduled by God for death.
Yeah.
I mean, she's part of Jericho,
and
she sees, and God redeems this woman, yeah, not only from prostitution but from certain death.
Right. Then a foreigner in Ruth.
Yeah.
Right?
Who is a cursed people?
Yeah.
This is a cursed people. It's already been pronounced. You're cursed.
Yeah. And then you got the mess of David and his sin, which Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 pour out his heart in repentance for how grievous a sin this was. So
grievous enough that Solomon's younger brother dies.
Yeah.
God takes him out.
Yeah. Right. Now, this might lead some people to say, well, you know, this is just the problem here. You know, then what are you doing with Jesus? Who is Jesus? And, you know, how does he come out of this mess?
how can he be sinless and be our representative
if he's out of this line?
Isaiah deals with that though, doesn't it?
Well, and so does verse 18, where which is all working through Isaiah. But now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. What that's saying is, here's a birth that was entirely different. He's identified with sinners. He comes from the line of sinners. But there's something very special about this child, right? Notice this. When his mother had become betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now what's being said here is this, is that Joseph had no involvement in this birth process at all. None. He is completely excluded. That's what we want to see here. This was not the way any of the previous messes came about. This was a child by the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us that womb was overshadowed and it was a supernatural conception, a virgin birth. Why? So that the stain of original sin was not transmitted.
Right.
That he is like us in every way, human, without sin.
Yes.
That's what this is telling us right here. That he took on our human nature, came through the womb of the Virgin Mary,
mm-hmm.
but that sanctifying of the womb by the Spirit kept him free from all sin.
Right.
And that's what makes him different. He identifies with us, but can save to the uttermost because he is sinless and will be take on our sin for us.
Right.
That's the beauty of the Christian message and something we need to hear and constantly be reminded of every day.
A high priest in every way who can sympathize with our weakness, but then can also take care of it in an eternal sense.
Right. And that's why I think, you know, the beautiful thing is here, you know, the angel tells, is very clear, you know, you're going to call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is such an important statement. His mission is to save people from their sins. He's saving Ruth. Mm. He's saving Bathsheba. He's saving Tamar.
Yes.
He's saving us. That's the message of Christmas. That's what he came to do. Save us from our sins. He's not a political redeemer. He's not fixing everything in the world. He's come to save us from our sins. He will fix things in the world. But
yes.
For now, he's saving us from our sins. And who is this? That's the beauty of this.
Right. At the end of the day, then, too, as I mentioned a moment ago, you also need an eternal aspect to this. So, as it's been said, Jesus is fully man as if he were not God, but he's also fully God as if he were not man. So, while he is sinless, he can accurately represent us, but then we need somebody who can handle the kind of eternal wrath that will be unleashed on them.
Right.
And that's where we need God, right?
Yeah. I love it was MacArthur and Sproul who were talking about how to talk about this amazing reality. And MacArthur said, yeah, he's fully God and fully man. And Sproul shoots back, truly, truly God, truly man. We don't say fully.
Truly.
And I think,
that's an anthropomorphing of God, you know, full and full. But
yeah.
Sproul is right.
Yeah. And I think that helps a little bit with the mystery of this, but it's so important to understand that it's absolutely essential to understand that he had to become one of us for that sacrifice and judgment to be accepted. God will not accept the payment of another creature. He's got to be one who's truly human.
Right.
He's got to be. So he had to become one of us to step into our place. But the mesmerizing truth, the overwhelming truth of his identity is that this is the eternal Son of God who always was.
Yes.
He never had a, you know, the Arians and many of the cultists today want to give Jesus an origination point. No, he's eternal. This is the eternal Son of God. He is truly the Son of God. He's divine. So that he is able in his divinity to bear the weight, right, of that judgment in his humanity and set us free and forgive us. So he is truly God and he's truly man. That's why we say that these two natures are united in the one person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're being shown in these early chapters of the Gospels. What we call Christmas is a glorious declaration of who has come to us to save us? And isn't that said in verse 23? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Who has come to us? God himself.
Yes.
And he saved us. What an announcement to the ends of the earth. What a reason to celebrate.
Indeed, it is a reason to celebrate, and we are celebrating all week long here on Abounding Grace. As we come into the Christmas season, it is our prayer that you spend time with us and remind yourself again of the importance of the birth of Christ, why we celebrate what we actually do celebrate. Again, the rest of the week is dedicated to our studies here in the early chapters of the Gospels, focusing in on the birth of Christ and the significance of it. Well, it is always a treat to spend a bit of time in studio with our pastor, just to pick his brain, maybe hopefully, at least from my perspective, ask a question or two that might be on your mind. If you had a chance to sit with Pastor Chris and tap into his thoughts on what Christmas is all about. And that is what we're doing here today and tomorrow here on Abounding Grace Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Chris will return again in just a moment here. But in the meantime, if you would like to contact us, maybe you have a question, comment, maybe you have a prayer request. Well, we would love to answer any questions you have. In fact, if you'll take a moment and simply go to your voice memo on your iPhone or Android, give us your name and your question, and then email it to us. We'll do our best to get it on the air for you as quickly as possible and have Pastor Chris answer that question. If it's a praise report, we'd love to share with our listeners as well just how the Lord is using this broadcast in your life on a regular basis. And you know, a bit of encouragement goes a long way for other folks as well. You're not alone. You can reach us at 888-504-8805 or online, agradio.org. Now, as you visit us at agradio.org, bear in mind other platforms are available through that website, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Again, agradio.org. Or, if you wish, simply write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. As the Lord leads you to partner with us financially and prayerfully, we would encourage you to do just that. Again, your encouragement financially goes a long way to encourage others as well. No gift is too small. No gift is too large. One-time gift or monthly gift. We would greatly appreciate your involvement with this ministry as we seek to promote the gospel of Christ wherever God allows. Well, as we close out our time together today, we look forward to tomorrow's broadcast. So once again, here's Pastor Chris.
Church is always, at least my experience, packed out on Easter and Christmas, you know. And I used to get irritated. I used to say, I remember, you know, this is probably offensive to someone, but I say, you know, if you're here, you know, thinking you please God because you've come once a year, I just want you to know you didn't please God, you offended him. You know? But at the same time, I've kind of rethought, you know, I'm happy they're there. And I think, okay, the Lord has brought them today. And I pray that they're not going to get the sentimentalism that they want from me. They're just not going to get it if you're preaching the scripture. So let's deliver the gospel to them. Let's deliver the good news to people who don't really understand all this, find a cultural connection to it, or think it's just a good thing to do. What they need to see is what Simeon saw. You're never ready to die until you've beheld your Savior. And Simeon had the special privilege to hold him in his arms. We have the special privilege of beholding him in our hearts. Oh. And when you believe the gospel and you've seen your Savior and you see this indescribable gift, as Peter says, and you take that gift into your thought, in your thoughts and minds, and believe, you are ready to die. You never, you know, you're never really living until you get to this point. And that comes with seeing how great a salvation's been given and the provision that has been made to deal with your sin. And that's what the gospel is all about. That's what we're ultimately celebrating in the celebration of what we call Christmas.
Well, once again, we are back in studio tomorrow with Pastor Chris as we explore once again this genealogy and what we have before us here in Matthew and what it is we actually celebrate during the Christmas season. Again, spend time with us tomorrow as we continue our week-long investigation of the birth of Christ. That's all right here on Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.